Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. On that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat just as he was. And other boats were with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves were breaking into the boat, so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, "Why are you so afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great fear and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" This is the gospel of the Lord. Brian, would you turn the mic, please? I'm turning my, there we go, thank you, or Michael, rather. Hold on just a minute, technical difficulty. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Water is everywhere in the text today. And so we need to talk about water from the biblical point of view. Water is an element of great power. It is immensely, immensely destructive. More often than not in the sacred scripture, water means danger. Right? Water means peril rather than like comfort and safety. It is used that way, and we'll get to that, but more often than not, it's something that is terrible, right? The Lord must keep the sea within its limits, right? He sets the boundaries for the seas, and the deep has great power and fury. And water in the Bible can even stand for death itself at places. Right? Psalm 18 shows us the terror of the grave as this sort of great overpowering flood that comes over us. He says, "The breakers of death encompassed me. The torrents of destruction assailed me. The cords of hell entangled me. And the snares of death confronted me." And King David speaks of his own death and he cries out, "Save me, O God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire where there is no foothold. I have come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me." That's what he says about his own death. So he describes, water is also an instrument of judgment in the hands of God. What's the prime example of this in sacred scripture? The flood. Yeah, Noah, the flood, right? And in our psalm for today, we prayed what? If the Lord wasn't on our side, we would have been swept away. The torrent and the raging waters would have gone over us. Right? It's all describing the terror of water. And then later on, the Israelites, they go down into the midst of the terrifying Red Sea. It was held only in check by God's mighty countenance. And the Lord gains victory for his people by using those raging waters of the Red Sea to judge and to destroy Pharaoh and his army. To be baptized, beloved of the Lord, is to be plunged down into all of this, right? All of this chaos, all of this destruction, all of this disorder and death and danger. This is to say that, in other words, the sacrament of holy baptism is incredibly dangerous. It is deadly water. And yet we never really think of it that way, of course, do we? Right? What danger could there be in a bowl of water and a cute little baby dressed in white, new clothes? But when you look at holy baptism in terms of just the broader biblical picture that it gives us, of water and the Word of God at work, it begins to stand out as a much, much more serious matter. To be baptized is to be plunged into the water in accordance with God's command, by the way. Right? But being plunged into the water, or as the Psalms might put it, to be cast into the raging deep, it's not a fun, gentle day floating on the lake. In the biblical way of seeing things, baptism is not a nice, warm bath that easily washes away our sins. It's more like a life and death struggle and battle through the depths of the abyss with real and persistent evil and the satanic forces that rule our hearts. So water brings death. And to be baptized is to be under the water. And to die, to drown, and it is not a pretty death. It is an ugly death, a thrashing, painful, grasping struggle of the soul as one sinks down to the bottom. Right, now that is part of the biblical picture and portrait of holy baptism. It is to die in the water. St. Paul says when we were baptized into his death. Right? Into the death of Jesus Christ. And he goes on to say, we were therefore buried with him by what? Baptism. Baptism buries us into the death of Jesus Christ. It buries us with him. Now, Jonah is thrown into the water and is saved. But first he must face what? Death. Head on. Death head on. He's got to go into the darkness of the eternal depths before this great ark of a fish swallows him up and spits him back whole and complete on the shore once again. Spits him back into life. Jonah goes from darkness and death to light and life. And God brings him to this place through water. And even the imagery that Jesus uses regarding baptism to be born again, right, it kind of evokes this powerful, this intense imagery. And yes, even watery experience of childbirth. Because a baby emerges from the mother's womb through water, when her water breaks. Birth is this struggle through water to emerge to life again. And so to be born again, beloved of the Lord, is not so much this sort of beatific, spiritual experience. It is labor. It's work. It is God fighting for you through the depths to bring to life a creature who has been dead in sin. Now, at the center of biblical baptism is the death and resurrection of Jesus. To go down into the waters of baptism is to join Christ there in his death. And St. Luke sees Christ's cross and resurrection as actually a baptismal event. And he says, can you drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I must endure? Right? The cross was his baptism unto death. And so looking at it this way, when Jesus endures his crucifixion, his death, and his burial, he, like David, allowed in his divine mercy the floodwaters to rise up and cover him and to claim them. Right? He goes down into the flood, into the Red Sea, into the abysmal deep and angry waters of sin and dereliction. The cords and torrents of death rise up and entangle Jesus on the cross. and there he drowns outside of the ark for you. Because when we meet the floodwaters of baptism, we join him there. We must die with Jesus. In one of the greatest baptismal scenes in all of the New Testament, we see this kind of contrast between an entry into the Christian life that appears painless and miraculous, and an entry that is brutal and carnal and involves death with Jesus Christ in the waves. And that scene, of course, is St. Peter walking on the water. Right? St. Peter sees the Lord striding over the deep, and what does St. Peter figure he's going to do too? Well, he's going to jump right out of the boat and do the same thing and join his Lord. And St. Peter does stand on top of the waters. He does tread the back of Leviathan with Jesus. He's upright, proud, and connected with the Lord, calm and serene. But the abyss always claims her own. Saint Peter must be swallowed by the water before he can be truly raised up to follow after Jesus. And so what happens? He begins to sink down. Sink down. His baptism has begun. His false pride is being drowned. And Peter cries out to the Lord, what? Lord, save me. He's sinking down literally into the abyss, sinking down into hell. And he cries out, Lord, save me. Hear my brothers and sisters, his baptism. The fire of man's pride and all sin extinguished, drowned to death in the water. The relentless pull of death grabs at and claims its own, but the confession of the soul by grace is being overcome with the waters of judgment as, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, don't leave me. Despite what I am, despite everything that I've done, never leave me alone. The soul even of the youngest child cries out to the Lord, to its creator, in this way. And the Lord does save in the waters of baptism. Scripture is abundantly clear in that. And so the waters that kill are also the instrument by which God saves and gives life to those like me who do not deserve it. Jesus reaches out his hand and pulls St. Peter out of the sea, out of the abyss, and onto the boat with the rest of his disciples. Onto the ark of the Holy Church, as it were. Baptism is not in any way a dedication of ourselves or of our children to God. It is not a teaching that the Bible ever puts forth, and it has never been the teaching of the Holy Church. Baptism is God intentionally allowing the deep to overtake us, allowing the death of Jesus Christ to enfold us with life, but only so that, like St. Peter, he might raise us up with himself, because that's exactly what he does, raises us up to stand with him atop of Satan, atop of the abyss of hell. Right? That's what it means, by the way, that we are more than conquerors through him. He has raised us up with himself to put our foot beside of his, on top of Satan's head. The power of the Lord God Almighty cannot be overcome by the waves and by the wind. The Creator, who shuts in the sea and gives it its limits, channels the great fury and power that the water is capable of in order to give life, to save men. But it's not just mere power that God employs in baptism. It its crucified and resurrected power. Christ's resurrection is his great moment of baptismal victory. The watery abyss of death can in no way hold our Lord Jesus Christ under it. Jesus' passion, death, and resurrection, those are his exodus, right? His Red Sea victory over the Egyptians of sin and death and hell for us. In our baptisms, God says once again, just as he did at the Exodus, you yourselves have seen what I did to the Egyptians, how I bore you on eagle's wings and then brought you unto myself. Because that's what he does in holy baptism. Because Christ is the greater Moses, the greater Jonah. He emerges from the tomb as from his baptism in the Jordan, vindicated. He is God's beloved son who descended into the abyss, into hell, to grab a hold of Adam and Eve and all of their sons and daughters and pull them up from the icy blackness of death to new life on the holy ark of the church. To be baptized then also is to be crucified with Christ. It's to be drowned in his death and then emerge from the tomb with him, just like Jonah fresh on the shore. And here the Psalms return to our lips once again with all of their Christological and baptismal force. He drew me up from the abyss of destruction, out of the miry bog, and he set my feet upon a rock. And we look back at our Red Sea tomb, this font of death and life, and we see our Egyptian and satanic enemies drowning, overcome by the waters of God. Now, the danger and the deadly nature of the waters, it does not cease at the moment of holy baptism, right? It's not like, I'm baptized, I'm good the rest of my life, I don't have to worry about anything, right? For Luther, Romans 6 doesn't just have to do with the moment of baptism itself, right? For Luther, it has to do with the ongoing life of the baptismal life, we'll call it, right? The life, living the life of the baptized, right? Let not sin reign in your mortal bodies to make you obey their passions. That is always a threat for the baptized, and Satan will use it against us, and he does. And he uses it against us well. The tumultuous deep that I have been going on and on about, it comes for you every day of your life. Hell and its fury does not give up on you so easily. And so the small catechism teaches us that we should, through daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and all evil desires, and that a new man should emerge daily and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. That's what the Catechism says. Repentance, daily repentance, is the way of the baptized, and it is the way of life. Though it may be hard to face the depths, Christ himself knows it is. We must daily walk through the Red Sea of repentance, constantly riding the ark over the terrifying flood. We must sink down with Peter, calling out to Jesus again and again and again and again, Lord, save me. Lord, help me. Lord, don't leave me alone. Save me, a sinner. And we do this because in the hand of God, water kills, and water makes alive. Finally, at the great and terrible day of our Lord Jesus Christ, the stormy deep will give way to the streams of living water to which Christ has guided his people. If baptism is the water included in God's command and combined with God's word, then that word must also include the command that Christ gives to the storm, which threatens his beloved ark of the Holy Church. Peace, be still. Jesus Christ, the Creator made flesh, is Lord over his creation, and he bends even the murderous waves to bless his children and to give them eternal life with him forever. In the age to come, not now, but in the age to come, water will only be the water of life for the thirsty. It will no longer be dangerous like it is now. It will no longer be terrible. And the good shepherd will lead his people beside still water forever. Because for the Holy Church, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. And that river is your holy baptism. In Jesus' name, amen.